the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we will continue the study of the New Testament. And we stop in the book of Ezra. In this session, we will talk a little bit about the spiritual reformation that Ezra brought forth. It is easy to rebuild a physical temple. Once again, how many years approximately did they spend to rebuild the second temple? Since they stopped? 5 years. Right? And the second one cost 7 years. So it's actually, even though it's long, but it's not super long. But to reform the faith, it takes longer. It takes generation. And sometimes we look at ourselves, how can we revive the faith? We were born in the church, but sometimes our faith is damaged. Maybe we are influenced by the world, by the friends, by the sin. So we are just like the city wall damage, or just like temple damage. But how can we revive it? So how can Ezra mobilize the people and change them, bring them back to God, and reform the faith of the generation? The first point we must learn is he starts from himself. Personal revival. In order to revive the nation, the leader have to revive themselves. Ezra is the leader. Now let's look at what kind of person Ezra is. Chapter 7, verse 6. Chapter 7, verse 6. Let's start from Brother Ricky again. Chapter 7, verse 6.
Verse 6. This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was as clearly described in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him.
Ezra, he was a scribe. Actually, he didn't have to go back to Jerusalem. He was quite settled down in Babylon. But he chose to go back. And he asked the king permission for him to go back. So he took initiative. This is a very precious character, especially for a young man or young brother or sister. Sometimes you have to take initiative. The Bible did not say, God revealed to Ezra, tell him that, hey, you cannot stay in Babylon. You have to live your comfortable life. You have to go back to Jerusalem. The Bible didn't say Ezra received any revelation. But it tells that Ezra take the initiative, ask the king to let him go back. And according to his own accounts, that really is the guidance of God that the king permit him to go back. So this is called initiative. So now you are youth in the church. Whether you are somebody which can use by God in the future really determined by whether you take the initiative. Do you need somebody to tell you that you have to do this? Or you take initiative even though it is not your duty to help out, but when you are free, or when you have the resources, or when you feel the commission.
使命啊,使命.
Self sense of commission. Have a sense, S-E-N-C-E. So, 自觉使命啊,自觉使命. Nobody tell you have to do it, but you tell yourself you got to do something. For example, now during these 2 weeks, 3 weeks you're here, you do everything according to the schedule, right? If you are faithfully to do it, and of course, this is a minimum requirement. But sometimes you have to take one step further to ask, what can I help? What must I do? What does God want me to do? So Ezra is somebody who is, why he has big potential and God love him? Because he takes initiative. He said, I want to go back to help out. And it did come out that this changed his life. If he never go back, he won a comfortable life in Babylon, his name will never appear in the Bible. God will not remember his work. But because he went back even though he suffered, but he did the most meaningful job. So take initiative. So whether you are youth of potential, it really depends on whether you take initiative. Right? For example, in the class, someone take initiative, oh, write the board for me, even though I said, make sure every day you take turns to be duty, but nobody cares what I said. But thank God somebody take initiative, clean the board for me. And somebody take initiative every time, bring me the lemon honey. That's why I told him, Yao Qing Tou, huh? Have great potential. Really? So from small thing, you know. Right? You don't have to wait for other people to tell you to do things. You take initiative. Oh, what can I do to help out? So Ezra, he is a person of initiative. And then also, he is a scribe. What does it mean? Scribe was specially referred to the group of people in the Old Testament. Actually, it's a kind of a profession. They are responsible for copying the Bible. When I talk about the Bible, it's the Old Testament, of course. The Jewish people, at that time, in Ezra, probably they only have the five books of Moses. But still, you need somebody to preserve the work. Because the book was written on skin, on animal skin, it can only last maximum 100 years, or even sometimes 50 years. If you use it constantly, it will just rot. So you need somebody to do the special work of copying very precisely. So that profession actually is done by the scribe. And because they copy Bible word by word every day, they know the Bible quite well. So usually they teach people a Bible. They are quite well versed. So how can we do spiritual revival? You need to be very familiar with God's word. If you want to revive others, you yourself have to be very familiar with God's words. And let's underline and read verse 10. Next, verse 10.
Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. But Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel.
Underline this verse. The three process a young worker today must do if in the future you want God to use you. First, you must make determination. But you must make determination on three things. Determination is very important. If you want to take it easy, you are never going to achieve anything. Let me repeat. Anything you do, no matter schoolwork, your career, your profession, or spiritual, if you want to take it easy, you're never going to achieve anything. You'll become a failure all your life if you want to take it easy. Why? Of course, sometimes after you work for very hard, you can take a short break to relax yourself. But if your life attitude is always take it easy, don't have to study that hard. No, come on. I just get 60%. I'm happy. I just pass. Right? If you do like this, you will not get good marks in school. If even you got a job, you don't fulfill your 100%. You just, take it easy. Just take the salary. Come on, it's not my business. Why should I work so hard? If life is always take it easy, you're never going to succeed. But for Ezra, he is not a person take it easy, but rather he is determined. Only those who have strong determination can have success, no matter for worldly or spiritually. If you want spiritual success, if you want God to use you, use your life to do something important, meaningful, you have to make determination. What kind of determination Ezra made? First, he determined to study. Study the Word of God. Study not only reading it. Yes, he was a scribe. He copied it. But copy the word doesn't mean you understand the word. Copy the word doesn't mean you know what it means. And copying doesn't mean you can memorize. He made extra effort, not only copying, but he wanted to study in depth, so that in the future, if we need to use it, the word of God is in his mind, and not in the book. And that is a very important thing. For example, you do a very intensive 3-week study, YTTC here. The effect, how much? I'm not quite sure. For example, let me ask you, what did you learn last year about the introduction of New Testament? Can anyone stand up and give me, I give you 10 minutes. You do a very rough introduction of New Testament to somebody who have never heard about it. Are you able to do this? Because last year, you spent 20-some hours. I taught you on introduction of the New Testament. Without looking at any notes or going back to your hard drive, can you stand up using your own Bible? Just give me an overview of the New Testament. Can you, anyone? If anyone can do it, I'll give you 20% extra bonus for your test. Can you tell me the theme of each book? Can you? You see, why you could not do it? Because you're only passively receiving it. You are just typing. Yeah, you are a good typist. I say something, you type down, you write down, you take notes. But when you go back, you did not do the Bible study yourself. That's why even though you hear 100 times, it's not going to be in your brain. If you go back, you don't build your Bible study. If you don't even read the Bible. How many of you read Bible every single day? I think I have. You don't have to look at others, right? Just raise your hand. Just a few of you. If you don't read the Bible, of course you won't study the Bible. But of course, start from reading the Bible. After you have regular reading habits, and then you look into it, right? Look at a study Bible, borrow some books, commentaries, and pray and read, make your own notes. Why? I can remember. Do you realize my class? Why? I don't even need a computer. I just use a Bible and I can talk. Do you realize that? Why? Because I have to prepare for your class. I have to spend effort and reading it and preparing. And after preparing, it's in my brain. All the main points are marked on the Bible in my brain. I can share with you. Yeah, you can do the same if you do your own study. Right? You can start from small. Just like study one book using the method I taught you. I remember when I was in your age, after I attend the NYTS, I attended NYTS in the year 1993 in USA, almost 20 years ago, 21 years ago, so long ago. Yeah. So I was so touched after I attended NYTS. So when I went back home, I tell my mom, I need to buy a study Bible. I need to buy some Bible commentary established by our church. And I remember in my bookshelf, 4 layers, all church magazines and church books. My father said, "Are you okay? Why you? All the church book?" I said, "I need to know more." Now, after going to NYTS, I found out I know so little. I need to catch up. Right, determined to study God's word. And I was going to university. I have to take a bus. So, at the end of the NYTS, I ordered all the cassettes. At that time, in my age, we still use cassettes. Maybe in your life, you never use a cassette. Have you used a cassette before? Yeah? Oh, so you're still quite old. Okay. So for example, one session, Old Testament introduction, maybe 20 cassette. Wow. I bring it home. Every morning, put a cassette on my Walkman. At that time, we used Walkman. Have you used Walkman before? You still? So you're quite old. I thought you only know iPod, MP3. So on the bus, I'll listen to the sermon of NYTS again and again. Because the Word of God really touched my heart. My heart is burning. I said, I want to learn more. I want to, every single minute, I really want to immerse myself in God's word. So Ezra, he determined, first, he want to go deeper. And he want to do his own study. That's why he can teach. Right? How many of you are already RE teacher in your local church? Anyone? How many of you are already RE teachers? Quite a few, right? The rest of you are not RE teachers? But actually, if you attend Theo, you're supposed to be good enough to be RE teacher, to be trained to be RE teachers. So I have to do a study. Secondly, studying is nothing if you are not putting it into practice. So the second thing
that Ezra
make a determination is to practice. Right? You can make a determination and study the Bible. I really hope that by the end of the YTTC, you will make a determination. In the next 1 year, I'm going to at least read the Bible already one time. How many of you has already read the Bible one time? From beginning to the end? 2 times? 3 times?
Okay. So,
actually, every year, we are supposed to read one time. If you read 3 chapters a year, you finish the Bible in 1 year. Oh, sorry, 3 chapters a day. 3 chapters a day, right? 3 chapters a day, keep the devil away. Really, if you read Bible 3 chapters a day, the devil cannot come into your heart easily. Right? It's not an apple a day, keep doctors away, okay? One, write down your notes, are very important. 3 chapters a day, keep temptation and devil away. Really? Because every day you read God's word, you'll be reminded about the word of God. So, at least read Bible 3 chapters a day, and you finish it in 1 year. If you read 1 chapter a day, how many years you need? 3 years. Of course, if you cannot do 3 chapters a day, at least do 1 chapter, okay? A minimum requirement. Not very enough. But at least you make a determination, next year and I come back, I finish the Bible once. Do we have the Bible reading Google record? Can we have them, all of them, give them one? Try to find them in the office. And then, at the end of the lesson, please find out. Everybody sign today's date. And then, make a determination. Next year, by now, I'm going to cross. No? Have you seen that paper? That card? Really, I feel good when I use it when I was an age. I read, cross it. Cross it. Feel good. Yeah. You see, Judy had one, right? Can you show? Yes. It's not finished. But it's very colorful. But at least we start again, right? When I was in US attending a seminar, there was one, there's a minister seminar actually. Preachers plus the old deacons attend. So we were sharing. And then the one conduct the service asked, anyone have any sharing? And then the old deacon, he's almost 80 some years old, raise his hand, he want to share something. This old deacon is really funny and really kind. He was a captain before. He drive all the big ocean liner. And he said, I want to share something. And I said, what do you want to share, old deacon? And then from his Bible, he bring out a stack of Bible reading record. You see, for the past few years, every year, I do it once. Now, how many times I've done it? He feels so proud. I also had one before, huh? But now, this is when I was 2006. Yeah. This is one print by USGA or IA. Really cute. Get them one at the end of lesson now and write today's day and learn from Ezra. Really, there's no... If you don't start from the basic, even though you come to YTTC every year, it's not a big benefit for you. Just like you don't eat, but you come here to eat for 3 weeks and then start for how many years in a week? 52 weeks, right? You start for 49 weeks in a year and you come to eat the buffet 3 weeks. What happened to you? You just cannot digest, right? So, determination. But secondly, determine to practice. So I call the word practice. You can know a whole lot, but if you don't do it, it's equal to nothing. You just waste your time at all. The word of God is not for you to study only, but the word of God is for you to put it into practice. Right? For example, if you learn about observing Sabbath, but every Sabbath day you come to church late. For example, we have basic doctrine, right? Oh, Sabbath is so important. I know I was passing by and then Brother Raymond was training you how to preach to people, right? Yeah, keep Sabbath, and then show the Bible verses, and then how to debate, all that. Well, we can do it well. But ask yourself, do you come to church late on Sabbath? When you come to church, are you focused during the Sabbath? Or you play around your gadgets? Or you talk about worldly things with your with a friend, talk about soccer, I mean, football, you call it football, right? Yeah. Talk about football, talk about worldly things, right? If you say, oh yeah, I know so much, I know I can throw out 20 verses on Sabbath. But when you come to Sabbath, your mind is not here. Then even when you preach to people, there's no power. So knowing is not enough. Before you can teach, you must do. You must do it. You must practice it. So Ezra determined, I want to change. So this YTTC, you've learned so much. I don't know until now. Now it's only halfway of YTTC, right? Have any one of you has already find out from one of the lectures or one of the teaching that some point, something wrong in my life, I really have to make a change? Have anyone realized this already? No one? Okay, one only? Two? Yeah, it's good. If you have already realized, you need to change something through the lesson. If until now you still don't realize you need to change anything, then the remaining of the 10 days, I really suggest, not even 10 days, I think, right? 7 days, 8 days. I really suggest you to pray hard and ask God, God, I listen so much of your teaching. What should I change when I go back? Right? What should I change? Especially if you learn from Old Testament, right? What am I going to change? If you look at the life of Israelites, look at how they rebellious. And compare to yourself, are you like them? What period of you belongs to? Right? You could have belonged to the Noah period, Abraham, or like a divided kingdom. You think about yourself, what kind of things you need to change. The thirdly, he says, after you practice, you can teach. After he study and practice and teach, after study and practice, he determined, now I'm going to teach the people Israelites about the teaching of God. So the spiritual revival, reformation from the time of Ezra, really start from personal revival. So I'll give you another assignment. I'll give you more time to do a short one, short essay. Have a reflection about what kind of personal revival you need after learning all this Old Testament introduction. What kind of personal spiritual revival that you need after learning from the Old Testament. I hope you don't think I'm giving you too much burden, but actually I find out that your through writing reflection, actually you learn more than just memorizing stuff, right? At the beginning, I thought maybe I have you to memorizing stuff, pass the test, it'll be helping you. But later I found out, no, you have very good short-term memory. Yeah, you were trained to be a good exam writer in your school, so actually memorizing stuff is not that difficult, right? But reflecting to your personal faith is more worth it. Verse 11, next please.
Verse 11. This is a copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave Ezra the priest.
Ezra the priest. Circle it. It's okay, huh? Now this is another identity of Ezra. Remember, he was not only a scribe, but he was also a priest. And of course, he is a spiritual leader. So when now he set out a journey, he went back, chapter 8, he went back with all the people. Everyone who went back was recorded. And total number of each tribe were recorded. So what does it tell us? If you do something for the Lord, no matter how small it is, God will remember. God will remember. Even though you're not the leader, you're not the Ezra, right? But you follow Ezra to go back to Jerusalem to do something for God, God will remember you. Right? You may not be preacher, deacon, or elder. You don't have to be standing in the spotlight to do something if you are not given the gift. But you can just follow the instruction, and God remember you.
Right. So this is a really amazing grace of God. Now the second way of a spiritual revival is revived by prayer. Motivate prayer. You cannot have spiritual revival unless you spend effort in praying. Chapter 8, verse 21. Now, they are about to set for the journey. But going from, at that time, Persia, which is equal to today, Iran, huh? From Iran, make a journey. Remember the map in your mind, right? From Iran to Israel, you cannot go straight. Why? Yes, because in between Saudi Arabia is there. Of course, at that time, it's not called Saudi Arabia. It's just a desert. So they go through Mesopotamia, along the coastline and going down to the land of Palestine. In between, they have to pass a lot of different region, different rulers or different tribes of people. So anyone actually can stop them. So actually, it's a lot of difficulties. They are not sure whether they will arrive safely. But Ezra, remember to do one thing. Trust in the Lord. I'm not confident in myself, but I have God on my side. So next time, if you do something, if you don't know what to do, if you're not sure whether you have the ability to do it, you have to pray. And if you think that normal prayer is not enough, you have to fast and pray. Just like Ezra mobilized people to fast. He said, if we want to go back, if we want to have a safe journey, we have to fast and pray. Because fasting and prayer is the most powerful prayer, especially if you do it for the purpose of the holy work. Recently, in my local church, we want to have an evangelical service, gospel tea fellowship. We don't know how to get truth seeker coming. So just tell the member, just pray. And on once a month, a Sabbath day, all the gospel team come and fast and pray for lunch. We do it for a few months. Guess what happened? During the gospel tea and the evangelical service, so many truth seekers came. Some just asked, why don't you invite me to come? They tell the member, oh, you're a Christian, you should invite me to come to your church. And our member said, oh yeah, sure. Okay, you come. Right? So God can really work in a miraculous way if you spend effort to pray. Right? For example, you want to really revive your youth group in your church. What should you do? Don't just organize like bubble tea, movie nights, right? Some people, when they plan youth activity, they think that, oh, you know, prayer is too boring, Bible study is too boring, let's get them to go to movie or bubble tea. How often you can do it, tell me? You cannot do it every week. You do it every week, it's not a fellowship at all. You get them to pray, feel the Holy Spirit, and then God will move the young people to serve the church together. So if you want spiritual revival, you must motivate prayer. Now, continuing, the prayer not only asking God to guide you, but prayer of repentance. repentance. Let's read chapter 9, verse 6, 5 and 6. Chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. In this prayer, offering sacrifices, evening sacrifices, he offered a prayer of petition of repentance. Why he wanted to repent? Not he himself personally have done anything wrong, but he had discovered actually that the leaders have married Gentiles. Let's read verse 2, chapter 9, verse 2. Next.
For they have taken some of the
So
the leaders have married Gentiles, so that caused the people to commit sin. So spiritual revival starts from identifying the problem and repent about it. Once again, let me repeat. Spiritual revival starts from identifying your own problem and repent to God and make an effort to change. Prayer to repent is useless unless you identify your problem. You cannot tell God, "Oh God, I'm sorry, but I don't know really what I did wrong, but you just forget me, forgive me." You can't talk to God like that, right? Why you say sorry if you don't know what to sorry for? You should know what's the problem and start to change it. So Ezra really identified the problems, and then he prayed to God and asked God to forgive. So of course they make some change. They agree to not doing it again. So that is the revival of faith by Ezra. Now today, personally, do you need revival? Sometimes our temple inside is damaged. It's not totally ruined. It's not there. But our faith is damaged by the world, by the temptation, or by our weaknesses. So we have to always strive to do revival. And of course, relying on Lord Jesus Christ, we can have the true revival. And of course, in this chapter 10, it talks about the prayer and petition. That's pretty much about the whole thing. Any question on the book of Ezra? I spent a little bit more time because this book really relevant to our faith as a youth. If no, it's okay. You can reflect more in your journal about spiritual revival. You can choose this book or you choose others to really think about your revival of faith. The next book, Nehemiah, actually was written in the same period of time. Nehemiah. Let's read chapter 1, verse 1. Next. Okay, so the setting of the book, once again, in the same period of time, the year of Artaxerxes 20 years, was about 445 BC, according to reference book. So what is the difference between Nehemiah and Ezra? Nehemiah, remember what did he do for God? Of course, the book recorded the rebuilding of temple, but Ezra himself did not rebuild the temple, remember, right? Esther only went back after the temple was rebuilt. But Ezra was doing the revival of faith. But Ezra, he was a priest and a scribe. But Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer. In the Old Testament, another very famous figure in the Bible was doing was also official, but not a cupbearer. Joseph, he deal with the cupbearer, he interpreted dream for him. So cupbearer is just serving the king drinks, alcohol. So I have a cupbearer today, huh? Very good cupbearer, but not alcohol, but lemon. So he's the one serving kings. So basically, he was a politician. He served wine in front of king, but he's a personal aide and a politician. So he never know that God really can work, can use him, right? But if you look at his character, once again we see the same characters, same spiritual quality in Nehemiah, just as Ezra. be also self-motivated and take initiative.
Chapter 1, verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Next. So if you look at Nehemiah, imagine that he was a politician, he worked in the palace, he worked for the king, and he was a lucky one, right? He is the best, one of the best jobs in the whole world. Very comfortable life. But he was not happy. Why he was not happy? Because Jerusalem, the gate, the city wall was damaged, was in ruin, was burning, so that he really cried for Jerusalem. So what does it mean? This is not only taking initiative, but actually this is a godly discontentment. What does it mean, godly discontentment? Contentment means you feel content, right? You feel okay, you don't need more. The Bible said it's good to be content, right? Oh, it's good, God, whatever God has given me, I thank God, I don't need more, right? Contentment is good on spiritual, on physical. But spiritually speaking, we should not be content easily. For example, if spiritually you're content, you don't even improve. You say, "Hey, I grew up in the church. I don't need to listen anymore, right?" Or you say, "You know, I came last year. I'm satisfied. I'm okay. I don't need to come second year." Spiritually, it is good to have discontentment. Doesn't mean I always want more. God, please help me. I want to learn more. I want to do more work for you. I want to be a better person. I never feel content in terms of godly or spiritual work. Nehemiah was a person to the world. He is very content. He didn't ask for money. Even when he was go back to rebuild the wall, he didn't cheat money, he didn't do corruption, try to gain for himself. So to the world, he has very low desire. But for the godly issues, like temple or rebuild city wall, he is not content to see that the wall is damaged and is burning and nobody is helping. He is very unhappy about it. So he was crying and praying and fasting. So this is called godly discontentment. Because of this discontentment, he has motivation and take initiative. When the king asked him why he looked so sad, and immediately he requests to go back because my city is in ruin. Somebody need to do something, and please send me home so that I can rebuild the city wall. So the theme of the book is rebuild city wall. Very similar, the project is very similar to the rebuilding of the temples. In the similarity of Ezra and Nehemiah is when they rebuild, they start, but they face difficulties. And they overcome. Making a start is not easy at all. But making a start doesn't mean you'll go well all the way. Always, the enemies, the difficulties come from enemies.
Remember, from ancient time, Israel have a lot of enemies. Even until today, Israel still have a lot of enemies. The enemy of Israel want to destroy Israel. At the time, they want to destroy Israelites. They don't want... There's one thing for sure is they don't want Israel to rebuild the temple, and they don't want to see them to rebuild the city. There's all the Arabs well, all the Palestinians, all the Muslims today, they are thinking. They don't want to see the Jewish state to exist. And that's why today the Hamas, Palestinian, they are fighting Israel, because they don't want Israel to exist. So, face difficulty, but eventually they overcome it. Just like when we build a chapel. Every church, when they build a chapel, they face difficulties. This chapel is very nice, right? I was in the library, I was reading. This chapel was finished in 1992. Many of you were not even born, right? 1992. This means 22 years already. How many of you were born in this church? When you were born in the church, you were here, this building. So, when you have memory, you have this church, right? You never see the old picture about... It was an old site, old building. But the church bought it. It's a really old building, they tear it down, but they have to apply for the city to give us a permit to make it a church because it was a commercial building. But really, thank God, even though we face so much difficulties, wow. But the city makes so much exemption. Because this area actually is not really not a church area. Even 50 years, 30 years ago, this area is all industrial area. Usually industrial area shouldn't have a church. And Newcastle has too many old churches already. So to rezone it is difficult. But you know, even though you have difficulty, you pray, God can open a way. And then they agree, the city really make exemption to agree for us to have a church. And it become the GA building, the headquarters of our church in UK. And when they try to find people to build it from scratch, I read from the news, from the book. Originally, somebody want to charge £1 million to do the building, plus extra cost of architecture charge. It can make well over 1.2-1.3 million. 22 years ago, it was a big money. Really, thank God, they pray and ask God to help, and they find another company, which the architect is the owner, and he won't charge us extra for doing the drawing. So less than £800,000, this building was built up. Look at the history. You know, everywhere the same. If you want to work for God, even in the future, you want to do the same thing, you want to work for God, you'll always face difficulties. But if you have faith, rely on God, you'll always overcome it. So this is about the rebuilding of the temple. So, sorry, rebuilding the city of war. Let's pray in silence. Amen. Let's take a break.